So I am Jenny Vassarelli, and we are interviewing Pete. Is that what you like to go by?
Yeah, Pete Ramage Jr.
Okay, about Muscle Store.
Mm-hmm.
And just to start to know a little bit about who you are, can you tell me when you were born and where you were born?
I was born at St. Thomas Hospital, January 2nd, 1948.
Okay, where's St. Thomas Hospital?
Right up on, I think that's Main Street?
In Akron.
In Akron, yeah.
Okay. And where were you living when you were born?
Putnam Street.
Okay.
And we moved from there when I was 5 years old to 234 Ferndale, which is the Mustle homestead.
And how long did you live at the Mustle homestead?
Till I was 22.
Okay. What did you call it when you were growing up? Did you call it the Mustle homestead? Or did
no.
You just call it home?
Home.
How much were you aware of the history of the building growing up?
Oh, I knew about it. My mom and dad just talked about it all the time. And I knew it was very historic. And he said it was one of the oldest places in Akron, Ohio. And the store, the canal boats used to come up to the store, and people would get their supplies and move on through the canal locks. And I knew it since I was a little boy on up to a man.
When did your family move? You moved when you were 22. Where did you go?
I got married.
Okay.
And moved out. We moved in there in 1955.
Okay.
I think they bought the place around 54 and start fixing it up. So I remember that just faintly way back. And they were fixed. I remember coming over there from Putnam Street, which isn't there now. It's now a trail. It's right off Maple, coming down the Maple Hill.
Okay.
And I remember them fixing the place up until we could move in.
And then what happened to the house eventually? How did it kind of leave your family's hands?
Well, my mom and dad got kind of, they were in their 70s. They were old, and they couldn't hardly take care of it anymore. And they kept bringing it up to the city and showing how important that the place was for the history of Akron. You know, it was a pretty historical place. And they convinced them to buy it, the city, and the partners, and they bought it off of them in 1989.
And where did your parents go then?
Springfield Township. They moved out there when they sold the place to them.
Mm-hmm. Are they still living?
No, they're deceased. They didn't get to see it finished. I wish they would have. They knew they were going to do something, but they didn't do anything for about 8 or 9 years. And then my mom and dad died in between that time, so they didn't get to see the finishing product of it.
So is this trip to town that you're making now, you live in California, if that's right?
No, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this trip to town the first time you've seen the store completed?
No, I opened it at the grand opening. They sent me a letter in the mail, and I was there with the mayor and the governor and everybody and some of the Mustle relatives. I didn't know them, but they were there, and they had a great big key, and I took down the shutters with them. And we opened the door and waved everybody in and held it open, and we walked in and opened the presentation.
So what's your reaction to the way it is now?
Oh, it's fantastic. My mom and dad would be so happy. They'd be overwhelmed.
What do you like about it?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's my home where I lived. I'm proud that I lived in the home and in the history of it. And it just was, they did such a great job, it's unreal.
So can you describe what the house was like when you lived in it? If you can correlate the rooms now, depending how familiar you are with what's where, with what they were when you lived there.
Yeah, when we first got there, well, we had running water, but we didn't have the hot water. Then we had a cold furnace downstairs, and we had a cold stove in the kitchen, where the kitchen's at right now. And they had to, we had to, that's how we heated the house. And the only thing is we didn't have an outhouse. We first got there the first year until they had a septic tank built. And in the bathroom was, we had a flush toilet and everything, and was able to use that then. A little bit rugged going out in the outhouse there.
But where was the outhouse?
It was over to the left in the back side of the building, not where the one is now.
Okay.
It was like, there was two sheds over there, and it was over to the front side of the back.
Did your family build the outhouse, or was it there?
It was there when we got there.
Uh-huh. And then where was the restroom that you had? Is it where the restroom is now?
Yes. Uh-huh. And also, I guess, the original tub, they still kept that at, in the bathroom.
So how did your family have the house laid out?
Well, the, where the kitchen is now, the other room, you go straight ahead, that was the dining room. And the room to the right, I don't know if you know the layout of the Mustel store.
Yeah, I was involved.
I mean, the home.
I'm involved. I know. Oh, you lived in the home, not the house.
In the home.
Oh, you lived in the home, not,
not
the
store. Not the store, right.
Oh, okay.
My dad,
okay.
He kept his antiques in there. That was a storage place for my dad.
Okay.
And he kept that as a storage.
Okay.
We lived in the house. I don't know anybody lived in the store.
Okay. Okay, that's something I didn't realize. I thought you lived in the store itself.
No.
Okay.
No.
So the floor plan of the house is kept fairly
Pretty consistent. And we had our bedrooms upstairs. My mom and dad was towards the riverside. The wind is toward the riverside. That was their bedroom. My bedroom was over to the right. And then my brother was in the service for like 3 years. He's 12 years older than I am. And he lived there a short time, and he would come, and that would be his main address, and he'd sleep in the room behind me.
What was the community like around your house when you were growing up there?
It was nice. I had a lot of friends. We played in the yard, and I'd go down by the canal, and we just all the time on the banks there, and just a lot of things. I camped out in the yard. I had friends come down. We'd put tents up in the yard and everything else, and we had family gatherings there and everything. Oh, yeah, that was neat. My dad found this old headstone. It was about 2 foot by 2 foot. No one ever found out where it come from, and it had and looked like ancient, like Israel or Arab or something like that, kind of a stone face. And he had that in a building, and I don't remember what he did with it, though. But some geologists were down there looking at it and all that, and they couldn't figure out where it came from.
How was the community or the environment around the house today different than it was when you were growing up? You know, when you go to it, do you say, oh, this looks so much the same, or how do you feel that it seems different?
Well, it's different because I don't live there, but they fixed it up really nice. I mean, my mom and dad didn't have much money, and they fixed it up just enough where, because several people wanted to buy it off them, like Acme Ash. They were across the river there. They wanted to level the houses and make a parking lot out of it. My dad said, no, this is a historic place. You aren't going to do that. We're not going to sell it to you. And there was another company, too, that wanted it, the Swinehart Rubber that was across the street. And they didn't know anything about the significance of it being historic, and my dad wouldn't sell it. And that's why he sold it to the city and the partners and the Cascade Locks Park, the National Park Service, because he knew they would restore it.
Oh, the surrounding
in the canal locks, and he was like he said one time he said he was hoping that they would make a park out of that and restore those canal locks. He just said it out of his head like that, and not knowing that they even had plans for it. So
talk about some of your experiences, your favorite memories playing in the area, either in the houses or in the canal, outside.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of family. I had a lot of cousins and come over and spend a night with me, and we'd play ball in the yard, baseball, and volleyball, everything. And then when I'd be sleeping at night, we'd have the windows open, and we had those sliding screens. You could hear the canal. And it's like you're out in the country in a farm, it's serene. And you could hear the train. At the time, when I was little, I remember the steam engines before they went out were coming by, and you could hear them just chugging along on the railroad. And that's the one, I guess, that they take these trips on here and there. I haven't been on one yet, but we're thinking about it.
Do you have any particular favorite memories? You know, anything, a specific thing that happened or when?
Oh, yeah. My dad, he was a jokester. Several people come down, all these canal seekers and everybody. And one lady one time had to use the restroom. And we had the restroom in the house and all that. And he had the outhouse still out there. And he goes, well, you go on outside here and you go to the left and right over here to this building, and there you go. And when she opened it, there was boards all laying on the floor, and she come back in. I can't go in there. And then her and her husband just burst out. My dad and her husband burst out laughing because he was just always joking. Then there was another person come and asked to use the telephone, and we had a crank telephone on the wall. He's collected antiques, too. And she goes, where's your phone at? And he goes, well, right over there. He says, give it a good crank. You know. And she's over there. He says, well, say hello. And there he picks it off the receiver. It's 1914. I have that phone today down in Florida. And it was funny. He was a jokester. And in 1986, they were on television on PM Magazine. They were interviewed by Michael Stanley. He's an ex-rock singer. I don't know if you ever heard of him. And Tony Harris is today, who's with CNN News. And I gave him a tape down at the Muscle Store to take the girl before the new girl that's there now. I think her name's Garvin.
Yeah, Bridget Garvin.
Bridget Garvin? Yeah, okay.
So Jen Maurer?
Yeah, Maurer. She must, I don't know if they put it in a drawer or what, but there were some nice pictures in there, and they had we had pictures of them standing there. It was all about the Muscle Store, the PM Magazine interview,
and the flood,
the 1913 flood, and all that, and it showed all that, and they never showed it, and I just don't know why, or took a few clippings out of there to see it. Maybe they don't know they have it.
What kind of work did your dad do that led you to live there?
Well, my dad, he worked at the United Salvage Scrapyard, and I don't know, they just moved there. It was a big piece of property there, and he could store his stuff in that building, the old Muscle Store, and they liked the house. It was a little bit bigger than we lived in a small home on Putnam Street down there, which is now, I say, it's the where the walking trail is now. Mm-hmm. It don't exist. But
he loved history.
Oh, yeah, he loved it.
Do you know what kind of changes your family made to the Mustel House and the Mustel Store?
Yeah, definitely. They were going to tear the building down. He said if he didn't, you know, fix it up a certain way, he had to put a new roof on it. He had to have the whole place jacked up. He had to put a new concrete floor in there, replace all these boards and windows in it that were knocked out.
The house right now?
Right now. And it was in pretty bad shape. It cost my dad a lot of money to do it, but he done it because they were going to tear it down. They gave him so much time to do it. This was the city.
What about the building?
And that's what I'm talking about, the store. And the house, the other companies wanted to buy the house and store both, what I was telling you about earlier, that he wouldn't sell it to them because he knew they were going to try and tear it down. But in the beginning, when we first got there, he had to fix both places up or they would have tore them down. They wouldn't be standing today if it wasn't for my dad.
What year was that?
Like 55, 56.
Okay. And then did he make improvements or changes later on in time?
Yes. Yes, he did. Yeah. We fixed the siding on the house. I painted it inside and out. I'm a Pete's Painting Service. Used to be Ramit's Painting and Remodeling.
Okay.
And well, we fixed a lot of things up on the home. And it was nice. But after it set a while, well, they're waiting to get it fixed, and like they did right now, it kind of got run down. They boarded the windows and everything up. But and that's about it.
Do you know how come the inside of the store was never painted? How that blue paint managed to survive with all the shelf lines on it? I was always fascinated by that.
The blue paint?
Yes.
Was no. My dad did. He liked things left the way they were. And he said, a couple of times I tried to clean off his antiques. He goes, don't touch that. He says, you're shining it up. You're ruining the value of it. And I'm over here. Dad, okay, I'm sorry. You know, because he wanted it left alone. And in some cases, he was right, though.
What did he do with the antiques he collected?
Well, sometimes he sold them. There was a Stagecoach Antiques on Market Street. He got that guy started in his business, Leo Walters. He sold him a lot of antiques when he was first starting out. He said, I'm going to open up an antique shop, Pete. And my dad sold him a ton of antiques down from the building. See, that this old store was his storage area. That we kept everything in his shelves and all. Oh, yeah, he owned a 1919 white steak body truck that the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company fleet had. And he used to drive it in the parades in Akron and up to the train station and all that to meet the train when they remodeled it and fixed the train station up. Just towards the end, where it'd be just before he sold the place to him, about 4 or 5 years before he sold it to him.
So when you were a kid exploring, because I imagine you did exploring.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, you know, what did you discover? In your house or outside? Kind of, did you have any favorite nooks and crannies, favorite places you discovered? Creaky steps.
Just, yeah. You mean in the houses?
In the house or outside.
In the house or outside? Yeah, I had a little cabin where my mom's gardens were. We had two gardens out there, and I used to help her with those gardens, plant everything, corn and tomatoes, peppers, just beans, everything, you know. And I had a little cabin I used to go out to, and it was right in the garden area. And me and my friends would spend the night in that. And then we'd get scared and run in the house after a while. And oh, yeah, he had a train whistle, an old-time train whistle. And he'd blow that thing when it's time for me to get up and go to school and walk up to Crosby School in West Junior High School, too. It's those two schools that I went to.
Now, where were they?
They were right up on that street where St. Vincent St. Mary's is. I think it's Maple Street. Isn't that Maple Street? Yeah, and it was right off of Maple Street, Crosby School was, and so was West Junior High School was on Maple Street.
And then where, kind of what other businesses in the neighborhood did your family go to?
Oh, they went to Kirk Radiator Shop that was up the road there, and Bell Tire, There was a place there. Yeah, there was Lexi's Dry Cleaning. Was a dry cleaners there where there's a parking lot now that the Cascades bought and they parked their cars there. A couple stores on Howard and North right at the corner. There was two stores there. And that's all gone now, tore down. And I don't know, they went everywhere. They didn't just stay in that area. But that's the ones they went to there. And there was a little store right up at the corner from North Street there, maybe two blocks up. It was Bing's store, it was called. They'd go there for their small items.
So tell me about a typical day.
A typical day?
On a
winter day. Oh, gosh. Getting up in the morning, I would not get away from that cold stove in the kitchen until he got that fire started down in the basement in the furnace. And then we'd have our breakfast, and I'd just go off to school and get home a certain time, and then I'd do my playing around in the house and in the yard, call my friends and buddies. I've had a lot of people spend the night there and different things. Or we'd play ball in the yard. And then I'd go down the canal a lot, too. We was always down there fishing a lot. Caught a lot of catfish and carp. And we didn't eat them. The catfish we did. My dad, he played a guitar and a ukulele. He'd be playing that all the time. He ended up playing that with one of the interviewers on the PM magazine in 1986. It's still probably in their files up in Cleveland. And it was Michael Stanley, and you say you don't know him, but he was a rock star, and he got to be an interviewer. And yeah, I used to go up to uptown, and I took trombone lessons. I played in a lot of bands. And I also played in the Goodyear Wingfoot's band when they had a basketball team. We used to just do a lot of things. I was a member of the YMCA, and I was swimming. I swim with Philip Boggs, who was world champion diver. I used to dive with him. He went to Firestone. I went to Central High School, but we were buddies.
What about a typical day in the summer when you didn't have school? What did you do?
Well, I was in and out. I made sure I was there for three meals, I'll tell you that. Oh, yeah, I helped my dad all the time with his antiques and things and store the things on the shelves in the building. I helped my mom, and I'd cut the grass with a push mower, and you're looking at close to 2 acres there. And she liked plant flowers, too. And she, matter of fact, I was down there the other day, and he had these lily of the valleys right in the same exact place where my mom planted some. They might be the same ones. That's what she loves, those lily of the valleys. So
knowing how Mustel's store was restored and the house, did anything surprise you in what the architects and, you know, the people involved in restoring the house did when you looked at it and said, oh, I hadn't seen that in years, or, well, why did they make that choice? You know, could anything surprise you?
Yeah, well, I knew they were going to put the meat market on there, and I knew they were going to put a porch, but I didn't realize how big it was.
Nice.
And nice. It's beautiful.
No, that's right, because when you lived there, there wasn't the meat market and porch.
Right, exactly. There was steps that went up, and there was a back porch at the top where that top door is on the Mustel store in the back. Mm-hmm. There was a porch on the back. And well, when they looked at it, they said that that wasn't there before, that someone built that later on before we moved there.
Okay.
And we used to go up in there, and my dad and me would haul his antiques and things up that way.
Car parts.
He was involved in all that. and we would bring it up and go up that way and sometimes go underneath the stairs and to the back door into the building. Yeah, they did great. How they fixed it up, you couldn't have done it any better. And I'm just thankful that I lived in the house, and a piece of that beautiful history is restored now.
I actually don't think I have any more questions. Do you have anything that you think I didn't ask you that I should have? Anything you want to add?
Well, I don't know. I know that. I think that would be about it right now. I just, and like I said, I'm just was so happy, and it was so serene to live there. I'm proud that I lived in the house. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have you get to say your name, by the way.
My name's Connie Ram. That's on Pete Ram's Jr.'s wife.
Okay. The background speaker was just introduced herself, and what did you want to add?
I just want to say that we have one daughter, and her and I both loved that place. It was very peaceful, very beautiful to us in a way that it was just, we would get excited when we would go down there. There was just something about the surroundings that made you relax, and the running of the water in the canal was so soothing. And every weekend, our daughter, from the time she was a year old, would want to go down there and spend the night. Her name's Sue Ann Wolf. Her name was Sue Ann Ramnitz when she lived here and went to St. Vincent's grade school. Now she's living in Florida, and she's a teacher. And she's coming up here, matter of fact. She flew up here two different times from Florida just because she wanted to visit the old house and building. And she was at the opening with us. And she has beautiful memories of that place. And she was so excited when she found out they were going to restore it. And she says they can't never take that away from us, and we'll always have a place to go and reminisce and remember the fun and happy and good times that we had and the family times we had down there. It's awful special to all of us. I've been married to Pete for 38 years, and so I know a lot about his parents and the good times that we had down at their home. They had company all the time. People, strangers, would drive up there and ask, can we look around here? Can we see in the building? And even the mayor has visited the place. Several people from the University of Akron back in the 80s would come there, and they'd be interested in history, of course, and maybe make a report for one of their projects at school. And they, we would all welcome them with open arms because we loved people, and we were proud to show them around at the Ramnitz place, which was the Ramnitz place at the time.
Do you have anything else you want to add, Pete?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much.